Are you ready for a family reunion?
Yes.
Great. So glad that you are here this morning. Hopefully when you came in, you received a bulletin. So let's take it out. And as you can see, we're going to do communion today. Yes. That is really good, right? Well, don't get too excited now. Don't get overly excited, okay? Just keep it down. We're going to do communion. That's great, right?
Yay.
Oh, that's getting a little better. Okay, we're also going to take a benevolent fund offering this morning along with our regular offering. So you all know the details of that. This coming Saturday is men's breakfast here at the church. Jared said he's going to be doing the cooking. So I don't know what's on the menu, but it'll be good, right? So men, well, I don't know. I hope so, but I don't know. I'm not in charge of the menu. So anyway, so men come. Let's have a great time getting together for breakfast and just having a great, great time. Lots of other announcements in the bulletin. That's why it's so important for you to be there. No children's church today. We have children's bulletins and we have coloring pencils out on the information table. So if you have children with you and you haven't grabbed any of those, make sure that you do that prior to. And children, if you would wait until it comes time for the sermon to be able to do your children's bulletin, that would be so much helpful. Well, we're doing communion, but we're also going to be continuing on in our study of Exodus chapter 20. That's great too, right?
Yes.
Well, okay. I think you're warming up a little bit. Is it cold in here? No? Okay, because I can keep talking, and the more I talk, the warmer it'll get. You know that, right? When the preacher talks.
Hot air.
Yeah. Thanks, Jared.
You bet, buddy.
All right. Okay. You ready to praise the Lord?
Hey,
let's
Pastor,
do it.
Hey, Pastor, I got a question for you.
I might have an answer.
What do Hank Williams, Johnny Cash, and Willie Nelson have in common?
They sing gospel songs.
We're going to sing their songs today in church.
Terrific.
Would y'all stand up with me, please?
What a great day.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now secure. Heavenly Father, we're in your house today. Lord, we came to worship you today. Thank you so, so much for saving wretches like us. Lord, we don't deserve your amazing grace, yet you give it. Thank you, God. Thank you. We love you. Amen. I wandered so aimless, life filled with sin. I wouldn't let my dear Savior in. Then Jesus came like a stranger in the night. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. Oh, I saw the light, I saw the light. No more in darkness, no more in night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrows inside. Just like a blind man, I wandered alone. Worries and fears I claimed for my own. But then like the blind man that got me back inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. Oh, I saw the light, I saw the light. No more in darkness, no more in night. Now I'm so happy. Seated. Thank you. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. Amen. What a privilege you carry. song is kind of a classic youth group song, but the words in it nonetheless are true. And they're words that come from the heart. It's simple, but it's a declaration that each one of us has to make on our own. You can't make it for somebody else. Your parents can't make it for you. But each one of us can say, I have decided to follow Jesus. 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 No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me. It's a choice, guys. When we worship, it's a choice. When we decide to follow Jesus, it's a choice. When all your friends turn around and go the other way, it's a choice to stay with Jesus. So make that choice. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back, no turning back, no turning back, no turning back. Our ushers are going to take this morning's offering as we sing one last song. It is well. No matter what happens when you're following Jesus, it could be well with your soul. When peace like a river attendeth my soul. It is
Can you say this morning, it is well with your soul? You might say, but Pastor, you don't know the kind of week I had. You don't know the news I've received. You don't know the things that I've been dealing with. How can it be well in my soul? I can tell you how. Because wellness in our soul doesn't come from that which is without. It comes from He who is within. And no matter what's going on without, if we know that He is with us inside, it can be well, no matter the circumstances, no matter the pain, no matter the brokenness or the emptiness, it can still be well with our souls. And are you excited about the fact that the trumpet could sound? It could sound before I'm even done preaching. Some of you are praying for that. And that's okay. You can keep praying for that. All right. Hopefully by now you've found Exodus chapter 20 in your Bibles. And we're going to look at verse 15 this morning. And I'm going to bridge where we're at in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 15 with communion. But I'll tell you how we're going to do that in just a little while. So not too long ago, I was out to dinner with my family, and we had a nice dinner, believe it or not, and we had a really enjoyable time together, believe it or not. And when the bill arrived, I noticed that we had not been charged for our drinks. Now, iced tea and soda, just let me clarify. I brought this to our server's attention, and the look she gave me was surprising. She told me that it was fine, that she had not charged me for our drinks, and she appreciated my honesty. And no matter how much I tried to convince her to let me pay for our drinks, she refused to let me do that. But I still didn't feel right. I still felt like something in my heart was left unsettled. Have you ever had a similar experience? What was your response? You know, I've been with people where that's happened, and when they saw the bill, they saw that there wasn't things on their bill that they were charged for. And you know what their response was? Oh, well, it's their fault. They made the mistake, not me. Oh, well, the service wasn't very good. The food wasn't that great. So you know what? I deserved for this to be able to happen. You know what? When something like that happens, and we don't do everything in our power to make it right, we're actually stealing. We're actually committing theft. We're actually doing what the instruction that God gave to the Israelites here in verse 15 of Exodus chapter 20, God tells them not to be about. And in some ways, God tells us not to be about that same thing. In a world where stealing is common, we need to make sure that we don't give the appearance that we want something for nothing. That's what thievery, that's what stealing is all about. People wanting something for nothing. And when we have, or they have, that kind of thinking, it can lead to theft. So with that in mind, we're going to look at this instruction given to the Israelites by God. Now, I want you to remember that these instructions were given by God to the Israelites so that they would know that God had set them apart from other nations. These instructions were not given for them to have salvation for eternal life, but that they would know how sinful they were and how much they needed a Savior. And even though this directly applies to the nation of Israel, indirectly, it applies to us today. Because God desires that as believers, we live our lives set apart from the world. We don't take on the ideas. We don't take on the behavior. We don't take on the accepted culture of the world. God wants us to live as we are set apart by Him from the world. We are set apart from the world by our belief in Jesus as Savior and by our behavior as instructed in God's Word. So there are lessons, even for us today, to be learned by studying this instruction. Exodus chapter 20, verse 15 says, "You shall not steal." Pretty clear. Pretty simple. Sometimes pretty hard to do. The Hebrew word for steal means to quickly carry something away by stealth. It's the idea of deceitfully gaining someone else's property without permission. Now, in this scenario that I gave you at the restaurant, if I would not have made any attempt to try to rectify, to try to make this situation right, to be able to offer, not just once, but multiple times, and my attitude would have been, well, you know what? They're a business. They can afford it. I would have been taking their property. I would have been guilty of stealing. And you realize, right, that when you steal from a business, it's not the business that absorbs the cost of that. That cost is passed on to other consumers. And if you were to go back to that business, that cost would be passed on to you. You understand that, right? You're not just getting something for nothing. You're harming that business. And by that business being harmed, he or she, the business owner, is going to what? Pass that loss on in other places. It's the idea of deceitfully gaining someone else's property without permission. When translated into the Greek, it's the word klepto. Ever heard that? Attached to a maniac? Kleptomaniac. What's a kleptomaniac? One who can't stop from stealing. So this instruction is directed to every individual, which tells us that each one of us must take it to heart. The instruction is complete. Notice that God didn't say, okay, do not steal, but in this situation it would be okay. In this scenario, it would be all right. No. He says what? Do not steal. Steal no more. The instruction is complete. We're not to steal anything from anyone at any time for any reason. Let me say that again. We're not to steal anything from anyone at any time for any reason. Y'all got that? Shake your heads yes if you got that. Kids, shake your heads yes if you got that. Okay? We're not to steal anything from anyone at any time for any reason. And let me just take it one step further. We're not to give the appearance that we've taken something from someone at any time for any reason. There have been times in my life when I've been accused of stealing because I wasn't careful enough to give the appearance that I wasn't even close to that situation. This instruction is stated in strong and simple language. We are not to steal a person, a place, or a possession. Because this instruction is in simple language, oftentimes we think, doesn't apply to us. It applies to my friends. It applies to my coworkers. It applies to, you fill in the blank. But it does apply to us. Now, I want us to look at some principles to consider as we learn more about this instruction. First, God owns everything. You understand that? God owns everything. Psalm 24, verse 1 says, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein." God owns everything. So everything we have has been gifted to us by God. Everything we have has been gifted by God. Now, if that's a truth, then that means that everything that our neighbors have, everybody that we do business with, everything that they have has been given to them by God. And when we rob them, when we steal from them, we are not just stealing from them, we are stealing from God as well. We are stewards of all that God has given to us. 1 Peter chapter 4, and verse 10 says, "As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another." As good stewards of God's varied grace, we are called to manage what God has entrusted to us. We are called to help those that God has entrusted things with to help them manage it. And we don't manage it by taking that away from them because we think we can manage it a little bit better. We must respect the property of every person. God holds each of us responsible not to misuse what ultimately does not belong to us. We need to be sharers, not takers. Instead of stealing, we are to be about sharing. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28 says, "Let the thief no longer steal. Steal no more. But rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need." Not because he took it from someone else, but because he worked of his own labor, of his own time, of their own energy, to be able to have something, to be able to share with those who are in need. When we steal, we take things from the person who possesses it, and we take from God, who owns it. As you and I follow God's clear instructions, we need to treat people and their property with respect. How do we do that? By not stealing from them. In a survey by the Barna Group, 86% of adults claim they kept this command. Someone's not telling the truth, though, because stealing is the most common crime in our country. So why do people steal? Have you thought about that? Why do people take things that don't belong to them? Whether they be children or teenagers or adults. Well, I think part of the reason is because there's no contentment with what God has given to them or what God has given to you. There's a lack of trust that God will provide what they need. And there's a lack of love for their neighbors because people, by and large, want something for nothing. There was a man who tried to sell his boat and trailer for $500. Because he had no offers in over a week, he changed the sign to read boat for $500, trailer for free. It sold the very next day because people want something for nothing. So let's look at what, in a greater detail, this instruction from God really means. Well, it means this: steal no more. Don't steal from others. Now, here are some ways we steal from people. Adultery. It's no accident that commandment number 8 or instruction number 8 follows the instruction against adultery because this sinful act robs the marriage between two people, between a husband and a wife, of the sacred promises made between that husband and wife. There's also the stealing of someone's innocence, which can happen through immorality or abuse. There's kidnapping. Listen to what God says in Exodus chapter 21 and verse 16. He says, "Whoever steals a man or person and sells him, and anyone found in possession of them shall be put to death." And then there's theft. Theft involves the taking of someone's property without permission. The taking of someone's property without permission. Now, when I was younger, my brother and I, who's 4 years younger than I, we shared a room. And my brother talked in his sleep. And he just didn't talk in his sleep. He could carry on conversations in his sleep. And the interesting thing was when he woke up the next morning, he didn't remember a thing that he had said. So he and I would have many conversations during the course of the night. And I would ask him if I could have this, and I would ask him if I could have this. And I would get up earlier in the morning than he would. And all of those things that he gave me in the middle of the night, I would take and move over to my side of the room. And my brother would say, when he woke up and he saw all of this stuff over on my side of the room, he would say, "Wait a minute, that's my stuff." And I would say, "Not anymore." He would say, "Well, what do you mean, not anymore?" I said, "You gave it to me." He goes, "I didn't give it to you." I said, "Yes." And he goes, "When did I give it to you?" I said, "Oh, about 3 o'clock this morning when you were asleep." Yeah. Didn't work. I would steal from my brother while he was asleep just so that I could kind of, get back at him a little bit. Not a good thing. Not a good thing. But theft involves the taking of someone's property without permission. Even though he gave me permission, he wasn't coherent enough to really make it stick. Things are so bad because of theft in many large cities that stores are now closing at 6 p.m. Many hotels are now sewing microchips into towels so they'll know when they are stolen. I don't know if Don and Andrea's hotel is doing that yet or not. But there's a company called Linen Tracking Technology that provides these chips to over 2,000 hotels to try to keep people from stealing the towels from the hotels. We live in a nation of thieves. They're shoplifting. According to the National Association of Shoplifting Prevention, more than 13 million people, or 13 million worth of goods, are stolen from retailers each year. 13 billion. You wonder why prices are so high? You think those stores, you think those businesses are absorbing the cost of the loss because people are shoplifting? No, that cost is passed on to you and to me and to other consumers. I remember when Becky first went to work for Shopko, not Winco, Shopko. When we lived in Washington, she worked at Shopko. And one day her supervisor and her were talking about shoplifters. And I think if the story is correct, Becky had just witnessed some guy taking a shopping cart full of merchandise and walking right out the door. Didn't go through the checkout, just walked right through the door. And then the loss prevention people had to go and bring that person and all of the stuff in. And Becky was talking to her supervisor, and Becky said, I can't understand how somebody would even try to do something like that. And Becky's supervisor looked at her and said, that's because, Becky, you don't think like a criminal. You're not wired that way. But there are people around us that are more than wired that way. And when we shoplift, we're only hurting the business and we're only hurting other consumers. Then there's robbery. This is the taking of property through force or the threat of force. There is burglary. Burglary is the breaking into of a structure to commit a crime. There's stealing from employers. USA Today reports 48% of all American workers have taken something from an employer. This can involve taking office supplies for personal use, padding expense reports, taking longer lunches or breaks, being lazy, not giving an honest day's work. There's also stealing from employees. And this happens when employers won't pay a fair wage or withhold benefits from their employees. There's also cheating with our taxes. There was a man who wrote a letter to the IRS stating, I can't sleep, my conscience is bothering me. Enclosed is a check for $50. If I still can't sleep, I'll send the rest. Now, we may laugh at that, but I think we would be amazed at how many people try to cheat the government. And you know what? As believers, we shouldn't do that. Romans chapter 13 and verse 7 says, pay to all what is owed to them. Taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed. We are given a biblical instruction not to cheat on our taxes. Now, if the IRS is gracious enough to give us deductions and benefits, we can take advantage of all of those that we legally qualify for. But to cheat, that's a different story. Illegal downloads. Downloading copyrighted material without permission, whether music or movies, is stealing. Gossip and rumors. Because when we're about gossip, when we're about spreading rumors, we are stealing someone's reputation. We are stealing their integrity. So don't steal from others. The second thing for us to know is this: steal no more. There are ramifications to stealing. When you steal, you often lose what you gain. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 11 says, wealth gained by fraud dwindles, but whoever gathers little by little will increase it. Wealth gained by fraud dwindles. Wouldn't it be great if all of the spammers understood this? Wouldn't that be wonderful? But whoever gathers little by little increases. And stealing brings shame. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 26 says, "As a thief is shamed when caught." When we're caught, we have to answer to the authorities. Stealing is a crime in our country. In fact, it's a crime in countries all over the world. And when we steal, we have to face the authorities. We have to get booked. We have to spend some time in jail. We have to go before a judge. We have to either hire a lawyer or wait for a public defender to be able to go to court on our behalf and to be able to plead our case. That causes shame. That causes shame when we go back to work with our coworkers. It causes shame in our neighborhoods. It causes shame in our family. There are a lot of ramifications. And if it's proven that we are guilty of the crime of stealing in any of those that I have already talked about, there could be jail time. You could spend quite a few hours or days or months or years checked into the Gray Bar Hotel. There's shame that comes with being a thief. I remember one time when my brother and one of my kind of cousins, he wasn't really a cousin, but he's kind of a cousin, they went to a department store in our town and they stole playing cards and they got caught. And both of them had to go to court and both of them had to stand before a judge. And it was a pretty shameful thing for at least my brother. My brother had the right idea. He had the right attitude. The other kid, not so much. There was a lot of shame that my brother carried as a result of that. Now, there are several attitudes that we can take toward possessions. One of those is, what's yours is mine. I'll take it. What's mine is mine. I'll keep it. What's mine is God's. I'll share it. Which is the better attitude? I think you already know. When we steal, we take things from the person who possesses it, and we take from God who owns it. There's another thing I want us to think about this morning, and it's steal no more. Fix the problem of stealing. Change your actions. If you are in the habit of stealing, stop it right now. Change your actions. What did we sing? I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. Though no one go with me, still I will follow. No turning back. If we have a problem, if we have this action and attitude that, you know what, stealing is okay, we need to change. Whether we're stealing from businesses, whether we're stealing from employers, whether we're stealing from relatives, doesn't make any difference. If we're stealing, we need to stop. And we need to stop right now. Then we need to give back what you've taken. Give back what you've taken. You might say, well, you know, Pastor, I've taken so much in my lifetime. I got a whole garage full of stuff that I've taken. Start taking it back. Start taking it back. Start making it right. During the Belfast revival of 1922 and 1923, shipyard workers who now believed in Jesus as Savior brought back so many tools they had stolen that the company had to build new storage sheds to hold all of them. After a while, the company said, "Please stop bringing back the stolen goods. We have no more room for them." You know what? They got it right. They got it right. Change your actions. Give back what you've taken. And then pay for what has been taken. And don't just pay what you think that item is worth. Pay beyond. The amount to be repaid is often beyond what is taken. And we see that instructed in Exodus chapter 22, verses 1 through 4. If a man steals an ox or a sheep and kills it or sells it, he shall repay 5 oxen for 1 ox, 4 sheep for 1 sheep. If the stolen beast is found alive in his possession, whether it is an ox or a donkey or a sheep, he shall pay double. What is God saying? When you are making restitution for something that you have taken from someone else, pay beyond. Pay beyond the market price. Remember this little fellow named Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. And he wanted to see Jesus, so he climbed up in a sycamore tree. And remember, Jesus, as he was passing by, saw Zacchaeus up in the tree and said, "Zacchaeus, today I'm going to go to your house and we're going to have dinner." He didn't tell Zacchaeus the rest. "Zacchaeus, I'm going to go to your house. We're going to have dinner. And because of this interaction with me, your life is going to be changed. You're going to believe in me as Savior, and your life will never be the same." And remember, Zacchaeus came to this realization that he had done wrong as a tax collector. And he said this. He said, "If I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it 4 times over." Not just 1, 4 times over. Wow, what an example that is for us to be able to follow. So, steal no more. Fix the problem of stealing. Steal no more because there are ramifications to stealing. Steal no more. Don't steal from others because God has instructed us. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let them labor, doing honest work with their own hands so that they may have something to share with anyone in need. Now, as we prepare for communion, I've got some really good news. You realize Jesus was crucified between 2 thieves. These 2 criminals deserved to die for their practice of stealing. And one of these thieves refused to believe in Jesus as Savior, but the other one said, "We are receiving the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong." In the same way, each one of us deserved death for our sins. Maybe even for our stealing. This believing thief then turned to Jesus and said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus responded with this promise, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." The last person that Jesus gave redemption to before his death on the cross was a thief. This morning, do you believe that Jesus died on the cross to pay the debt of sin that God required? 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21 says this, "For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Let me say it a different way. For your sake, for my sake, for your sake as a sinner, for my sake as a sinner, God made Jesus to be sin when Jesus knew no sin, so that in Jesus we might become the righteousness of God. God did that through Jesus for you, for me, for the entire world. Do you believe in Jesus as Savior this morning? Then join together with us as we participate in the celebration of communion. I'm going to ask the men to come and join me at the table. Remember what Jesus has done for us this morning. Let's remember Jesus. The last strains of the hymn that Dave was just playing, when I survey the wondrous cross, when we survey the cross on which Jesus died, let's always remember Jesus.
Would you all stand with me for this last song?
There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. We shall sing on that. Father above, we will honor.